The Brekkie Show with Nadia Mitsopoulos
on ABC Radio Perth and WA.
Today is an historic day in WA politics. The voluntary assisted dying legislation is due to make its final passage through the Parliament, but it's not just a day to mark on the political calendar. These laws are going to have a very tangible impact on people living in the real world. Once they're approved by the lower house and go through an 18-month-long implementation plan. A year and a half is a long time to wait, though, and for some people, like Rhonda Taylor, it is too long. Rhonda was diagnosed with breast cancer 3 years ago, and despite aggressive treatment, the cancer spread, and because of that, she became a passionate supporter of voluntary assisted dying, and Rhonda joins me in the studio this morning. Rhonda, good morning.
Good morning.
These are historic laws, but it's come too late for you.
Yes.
Is voluntary assisted dying something you would like to have utilised?
Oh, absolutely. I'm at the end stage now. I'm at the end stage now of the disease, and it's progressing quite quickly. So each week, actually daily now, there are more symptoms coming on, which means a lot more intervention for medical, a lot less independence on my part. And with each new loss of function, there's a loss of myself that goes with that as well. And then you factor in the pain and other aspects, you know, where you lose that self. And, yeah, I would like to have had a say when it got to a certain point, this is unacceptable for me to live in this manner, and have that option, but it's not going to be available to me.
How would you have known what that point was?
Well, I think I'm a fiercely independent person, and when it comes to not being able to feed myself, not being able to speak, not being able to move, having to have somebody come in and toilet me, feed me, dress me, I'm stuck in bed all day, can't communicate, can't participate in any capacity. To me, that's unacceptable. I'm going to be dying anyway, so why drag that out? And then if you factor in the fact that I might not be able to communicate my pain levels and what I need to manage that pain, and that could go on for weeks, months possibly.
Is today a good day for you, the fact that you're able to come into the studio and talk to us?
I've been up since 4 o'clock this morning. I've had a really bad night. I've had to manage my pain and medication to get here. I'm still slurring my words somewhat, so there's a bit of a delay when I'm speaking to you. But there's a whole regime that goes with me actually even getting out of bed in the morning. So before I'm able to get out of bed, I have to have medication, wait for about half an hour, then able to get out of bed, take the next lot of medication, and then manage my day from there. Some days I can get the pain under control quite easily, other days no, and the symptoms may come on quite quickly and unexpectedly.
You have that physical toll. What about the mental toll?
The mental battle's the hardest. It's trying to stay positive. I do make a big effort to look as well as I can because I feel that helps me. I make a big effort to do as much as I can for myself whilst I can, and my family and friends are very respectful of that. They allow me. They sit back in frustration wanting to help, but they allow me to have that opportunity because they know it's important to me. And it's a constant battle, it is. You think you have it under control and then you have another symptom come across. At the moment I'm losing my capacity to speak, that's going. I have cancer in my jaw, so my jaw stiffens up, so it's becoming harder and harder to eat. I've had discussions already about tube feeding. I've had discussions about how I'm going to have my medication, so I have to have a pump in the future. I've had discussions about the tumour that is going to, it's invading one of the nerves and it's going to cause paralysis, how I'm going to manage that. I've had discussions about pain in my face. I have a tumour that's pressing on facial nerves that, the pain is tremendous, but it actually affects my hearing, my vision, my speech, you know, these are all ongoing issues.
And do you get frightened about the next stage?
I try.
And the next lot of challenges?
Yeah, look, I try and prepare mentally as much as I can because it helps me. If I know what's coming, I can help prepare for that, and I feel like I, whilst I haven't got any control over it, there are some aspects of my care that I can say, look, this is what I would prefer to do. These are my options. I still have a say in that whilst I'm still lucid enough to be able to do that. It is difficult because it's also managing the medication can sometimes blunt your focus. I noticed yesterday I'm trialling a new medication for the pain in my face and in my head, because that's overwhelming. And I found myself for about 10 minutes completely zombied out and dribbling. And that's horrific to me, when I realise, gosh. So it's balancing that option to manage the pain and manage the symptoms along with being myself as much as I can.
You were being so candid and so honest about your journey. Rhonda Taylor is who you are listening to this morning. She has breast cancer that can no longer be treated. It is terminal, and she has been a long-time advocate of voluntary assisted dying. This legislation is due to pass in the lower house, the final passage. It's needed through the WA Parliament later this afternoon, but there is an 18-month implementation period, so this legislation that Rhonda would like to have accessed will not come soon enough for her. Why are you speaking out? What do you want people to understand about what you are going through in relation to this legislation and this debate?
Okay. Well, people think that, okay, you just have to have access to good palliative care and that will do it. And some of the comments I'm hearing are, well, just get the nurses or doctors to up your morphine towards the end. That's what happened with my mum. Or, you know, if you have access to good palliative care, you'll be okay. I have brilliant palliative care. I'm very confident in their ability to keep me as comfortable as possible for as long as possible. They actually come to my home. I have doctors come to my home. The nurses come to my home, so I don't need to go into the hospital. So, I mean, that's extraordinary,
yeah,
that level of service. They're talking about bringing a hospital bed into the home to make that process easier for me. They had social workers come in to talk to my children to help manage those difficult conversations. I can't fault it. It's exceptional. But there comes a point where they can no longer give me specific medications. They can no longer give me the level of care that I might need. And when it comes to communicating that need, if I'm not able to speak or, you know, be able to animate my need through physical form because I'm paralysed, it's a lot of pressure to put on one person, a nurse or a doctor, to understand what my needs are and cope with that.
So you want to take that pressure off them and be in control of that decision?
Absolutely. And also off myself, you know, I would like to have the dignity to say, let me die in peace, you know, and not traumatise everybody else around me, because that also affects me mentally, you know. I mean, it's very stressful on my family. It's very stressful on my friends. I can only imagine them seeing me in a situation where they feel that I'm in pain, I may not be, or struggling and they can't do anything, and the trauma that goes with that. And this amazing woman called Belinda Tay, I think her surname.
Yes.
Yeah. I was following her story and absolutely inspirational.
And again, her mother died from cancer, but Belinda talks about how her mum suffered and how much it hurt her watching her mother suffer at
absolutely
the end.
Absolutely, how traumatised she was from that. It's going to haunt her for the rest of her life. And our stories are just one of thousands, you know. So there's a need there. I don't understand why we can't have excellent palliative care and the choice to die in a peaceful manner.
Well, that is the reality now, because we will get this legislation, and the government has promised a major investment in palliative care. Probably not enough. They probably need to put more in, but it's a good start. Rhonda, how you've been going up to Parliament, you've been following this debate quite closely. How do you assess the way politicians handled themselves in this debate?
Oh, dear. Look, there's a lot of grandstanding going on, a lot of people taking credit for issues that, you know, to obtain some kind of political gain. And I'm frustrated with it because there's been delays and they're using the amendments and clauses and objections for their own gain rather than looking at solutions. If you object to a clause, that's fine. You know, you're entitled to do that and for valid reasons, whatever they are. But come with solutions. You know, don't come to use it an advantage for the opposition. That's not helpful for anybody. You know, don't come to grandstand it and take credit for yourself.
How will you feel today when you see that final passage of this legislation go through Parliament? What do you think will be going through your mind?
I'll be very relieved that the options are going to be available for people in the future. I believe that they will look at any issues where they're a bit concerned about coercion or undue influence. I do believe they will sort that out. But they need to stop using those aspects to gain advantage politically.
Are you scared about what the next few weeks holds for you?
Look, it is frightening because there's a lot of aspects coming up that I didn't expect. Even talking to you now, my hearing on one of my side's gone and it's hard to know if I'm talking too loud. It's little things.
You're talking perfectly.
The pain, I wasn't expecting the level of pain and where it comes from. So that frightens me. I tried to prepare for that, but you can't. I just hope I die peacefully, you know, in my sleep, and I don't traumatise my family in the process.
Thank you so much for coming in. I feel privileged to have met you.
Oh, thank you.
And I wish you all the best in the next few weeks.
Thank you.
Your story is breaking my heart, to be honest.
Right. I don't mean to be, you know, but I just want to say that I'm one of thousands. I'm not extraordinary. My situation is not extraordinary. I'm one of thousands of people and I'm actually in a very privileged situation because I have access to resources that a lot of other people don't, and I can't even imagine being in a situation where you don't have the excellent care that I receive now so that my end of life, from, you know, is... I've got some quality. I can't even imagine. If my thoughts go that way, my heart breaks for those other people.
Yeah, our heart breaks for you, but you are so courageous. You're so brave. And I hope people take a lot away from what you've said today. And we are getting a lot of texts from people saying that they're listening to your story and thank you for your courage and strength. And they wish you all the love and understanding and compassion. And I just hope the next few weeks for you, you are surrounded by all the people that mean something to you and you are showered in love because you deserve it.
Thank you. I'm pretty spoiled.
You are. Thank you so much, Rhonda Taylor there.